I'm Renee. I'm a pastor here. Remember COVID? Remember lockdown? Like, that was crazy, right? It was, we were just stuck in our houses and couldn't get out. It was wild. And, like, for the first few weeks, it was definitely a little scary, but it was also a little exciting. Like, who doesn't love a staycation every once in a while? Just a week or two, just in your house, and it's nice, and yeah, not bad. And if no one can relate, staycations, love them. And in those first weeks of COVID, like, it was okay to have that extra glass of wine with dinner a few nights in a row. It was okay to turn Netflix on at 5:45, order dinner in, and that's your whole evening. Like, these are unprecedented times, guys. It was okay to just have those little indulgences, those little extra things to get us through those first few weeks. But it wasn't just a few weeks, was it? As the months went on, and as we realized that this was a marathon and not a sprint, those special exceptions became habits. And I don't know about you, but I'm still working at breaking my screen habits that I developed in COVID. They snuck up on me a bit. We live in a time where the world encourages us to do what we want. You know, follow your heart, chase your bliss. Do whatever feels good as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. And why not? If it feels good, do it. Like, this is 2024. We're not letting society's views oppress what our heart desires. Do what you want. Go for it. Quote me on that. We're free to live how we want to live. In COVID, I would wake up and turn on Disney Plus while I brushed my teeth because I wanted to. It was fun. Why not? Exceptional circumstances. Unprecedented times. Now I wake up and I turn on Disney Plus while I brush my teeth because I have to. I feel lost without it. I get jittery. I need that stimulation. I don't feel super free. I think I've been lied to. We're all being formed. And more often than not, we're being formed by forces that aren't of Jesus. Last week, Jeff shared with us about the first of the three lies that try to form us away from Jesus, the three forces that take us away from his ways. He was talking about the devil. It was exciting. Go listen if you haven't heard it. Today, we're talking about the second of those lies, second of those things that form us away from the way Jesus made us to be. We're talking about the flesh. I'm going to try not to gag every time I say that word. Because there is a lie out there. There is. It's a lie that tells us that our bodies can be trusted to do what's good for us. It's a lie that pleasure and satisfaction are the be-all and end-all of human existence. It's a lie that says it points to freedom, but really leads us further into slavery. What's the lie? Satisfying my heart's desire will bring me freedom and happiness. That's what the world tells us, right? That's what we see when people blow up online when they get money and success for the first time. They go out and buy whatever they want and live the life they've always wanted to live. Is that really our heart's desire? To buy what we want? Is that the strongest desire of our heart? Is that the deepest desire of our heart? Or is it just the loudest? John Mark Comer has an interesting illustration in his book. Everyone say it with me. Live no lies. It's the grocery line conundrum. When you're in line at the grocery store, at the checkout, you have two worlds unfolding before you. On one side, you have chiseled, photoshopped actors telling you how to have the best body in the best way you can. No plastic surgery. And on the other side, you have cakes and ribs and pies, and not to mention the chocolate bars and little bags of chips that are just... And as you look at these two worlds existing before you, two desires rise up within you. You want that body. You want that chocolate bar. Both are authentic, true desires of your heart. They are true to yourself. But we can't successfully pursue them both. How do we follow our heart when it's saying different things? this is a silly example, but I think it gives us a pretty frank understanding about our world and about our reality. When my alarm goes off in the morning, my strongest desire is to go back to sleep. My deepest desire is to get up and spend some time with Jesus. When a married woman's out on the town with some of her friends and a handsome guy comes chatting her up at the bar, her strongest desire might be to see where this goes. But her deepest desire is to stay faithful to her marriage. When a dad wakes up in the middle of the night for the 8th time because his kid keeps crying, his strongest desire might be to get a hotel. His deepest desire is to care for the needs of his child. Our strongest desires are not our deepest. It's rare that our strongest desires and our deepest desires can coexist. When we follow our heart, our flesh, it may look like the way out of struggle and towards freedom. When you're waking up for the 8th time in the middle of the night, the hotel is freedom. But we quickly find that the ways of the flesh hold us captive. Like Kate said in our passage, the flesh desires what's against the spirit, and the spirit desires what's against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so you don't do what you want. This morning, I hope to shed some light on the ways that we've been giving our strongest desires more power than they deserve. Hopefully, by exposing the ways that our heart sometimes lies to us, we can be better equipped to walk in the Spirit, which brings with it all the fruit we've been singing about since Sunday school. Let's pray this morning and let the Spirit do its work. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, thank you that you made our bodies to do amazing things. God, thank you that your Holy Spirit speaks to us about the ways of this world and about the ways of you. We are listening today. May you give us the strength to hear what's true. May you give us the hope to walk out of here a little more aligned with your Spirit. Come, God who has created us, be with us this morning. Amen. Let's hop back into our passage. This scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. And like us, the early church was struggling with how to navigate these issues of the flesh, and these issues of fleshy desires. On one hand, you had a camp of Jewish Christians who really wanted to bring the Old Testament law into the church. They wanted to bring the rules and regulations and stipulations that kept their flesh holy for hundreds of years. All the eating laws and purification laws, everything that they knew to keep their flesh holy. But on the other hand, the church existed in a culture that was very hedonistic and pushed for self-gratification and pleasure above all else. Paul's letter comes in the middle of these two things, trying to make peace of two very opposing ideologies. So let's hop into our scripture, if I can find it. There we go. For you are called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you'll be consumed by one another. Jeff talked last week about how we've all experienced slavery to sin. It's only through the miraculous death and resurrection of Jesus that we have been set free. And praise God for that. Can I get an amen? Amen. You guys do a lot better than Kitchener, so tell them next time you see them. We have been saved. We are no longer bound and working towards our own physical purity by obeying the laws and working hard. The blood of Jesus has washed us clean. But like Brad was saying a couple of weeks ago, we're not just saved from something. We're not just saved from our sins. We're not just saved so that we can tick off that heaven box and live the rest of our lives however we want. We are saved from something, and and we're saved for something. We are saved to live in love and through love to bring about the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, the ways of the flesh don't really take us down that path. Okay, elephant in the room time. I'm using the word flesh a lot today. I'm sorry. It's gross. Nobody likes it. It's not a pleasant word. But unfortunately, it's the best way to describe our theme today, so we're all just going to have to, like, stomach it. If you don't like it, I guess you can leave. Or, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right option here. So what do we mean when we're talking about the flesh? What are we even talking about here? There's a couple meanings we can find in the Bible. Sometimes, like, literally our flesh. Sometimes our ethnicity. But in this passage, and a lot of ones like it, our flesh talks about our sinful nature. Eugene Peterson puts it as the corruption that sin has introduced into our very appetites and instincts. The way sin has corrupted the appetites and instincts God created us with. Basically, the flesh is a term for our innate human drive towards pleasure and self-gratification, usually around the realms of food and sex. It's our physical desire that can try to overpower our deep spiritual desires. But hold up, Renee. Are you saying that it's a sin to like food? It's a sin to like sex? Didn't God make those things? You're right. God did make those things. Good job. The problem isn't that food and sex exist. God made those things. He made us to enjoy them and to experience them. The problem is that we've given pleasure too much power in our lives. We've bought into that lie that satisfying our heart's desire is going to give us freedom and happiness. But it's just not true. Because when we overindulge, when we feed our flesh whatever it wants, it starts to take control. I remember when I was in my late teens and some of my friends started drinking, it was really weird to go from a place of watching them think, oh, hey, I can have a drink when I go out. Cool. That's great. To a place of, I'm going out, I need to have a drink. Because that's how I go out, that's how I have fun, that's how I am myself when I'm out. They thought they were exploring freedom by getting to choose what they wanted. But the flesh is a funny thing, isn't it? It rarely lets us be satisfied with just one hit. The more you look at that lie that satisfying our heart's desire is the only way we can experience freedom and happiness, the more it looks like a lie. Like, we can tell if we look at it long enough, that doesn't sound right. The problem is we don't take the time to look at it. Because when you're in the moment, follow your heart and all your dreams will come true, that sounds like the best option. When someone's like, hey, do you want another slice of cheesecake? Or hey, do you want to get a hotel room? You want to hear the truth, follow your heart. And that'll take me good places. But when we take a step back, it becomes clear. Have you ever seen a kid who gets everything they want? Are they happy? No! They're so miserable and spoiled and incredibly dissatisfied. And yet, they get whatever their hearts desire. That's the thing about pleasure. It's great in the moment, but what about tomorrow? What about the day after that? The flesh only gives us instant gratification. That's all it can do. It forces us to come back for more and more and more and more. Listen up, because this is important. The flesh doesn't give us tools to finding lifelong happiness. It just gives us the tools to find our next fix. Now, don't get me wrong. Having desire isn't a sin. That's not where we're going here. Like we said before, God made us to desire. He made us to desire food, sex, pleasure, and he's not against these things. But it's what we do with these things that leads us down a dark path. So now that I hope we have a better understanding of the nature of the flesh and all that kind of stuff, let's see where Paul takes us next. What are we supposed to do with this new understanding? So he says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. And we heard this already. For the flesh desires what is against the spirit, and the spirit desires what is against the flesh. They're opposed to each other. So you don't do what you want. What do you want? Really, like, what do you want? Out of this life, out of this morning? What do you want? As we've been talking about all these flesh things, have you been convicted? Or does it not really seem that big a deal? Because really, in the grand scheme of things, how much can our desires for food and sex really impact our spiritual life? I hate to break it to you, it's pretty hard to have them both. It's kind of impossible in a lot of ways. Trying to live by the flesh and by the spirit at the same time is like slamming the gas and the pedal, the gas and the brake in your car at the same time. Like, yeah, you're doing both. You're engaging both pedals. The car's only doing one thing. You can't have them both. I think a lot of us have been there, right? A lot of us, especially if you've been following Jesus for a long time. I know I've struggled with serving two masters, with trying to do both at once. There's been several seasons in my life where I just feel spiritually stuck. I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing in order to be closer to God, but it's not getting me anywhere. I see my peers and they're doing all the things I'm doing and they're living in the Spirit and they're walking with Jesus and I'm just kind of plateauing. What is that? What's going on? Why is there this disconnect? I'm trying to have my cake and eat it too. I can't tell you how many times I've been scrolling on my phone and I'm realizing I'm running out of time to do my morning devos, so I throw the phone away and open my Bible and read my chapter. And I don't really get anything out of it, so I close my Bible and go back to my phone for the rest of my morning. And I wonder why I'm not getting anything out of my scripture. Where is my attention? Where is my affection? What's really running my life in that moment? My spirit? There's so many times where I've been trying to squeeze the ways of the Spirit into a flesh-led life. I'm pushing both those pedals in my car, and I'm getting nowhere. Because in those seasons, I'm the focus of my own life. When all I'm thinking about is my next snack or the next time I can get a moment alone on my phone, I'm not looking out for where God is trying to. I'm not looking for opportunities to love his people and bring his kingdom. I'm looking at me. And that's it. So I ask again, what do you want? Are you willing to make sacrifices to get you where you want to be? Because we cannot successfully serve the flesh and the spirit. We're just going to end up spinning out and burning rubber and getting nowhere. So how do we get there? How do we get to a place where we leave behind the works of the flesh, where we leave behind sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar? It's a lot of crap to leave behind. How do we leave that in favor of the fruit of the Spirit? Sing it with me. We're not going to do it. But I was expecting more buy-in, I'm being honest, so I'm a little disappointed that more people weren't eager to sing. So how do we get there? How do we get to those amazing fruit? Paul says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. First step, we got to kill it. I know it's drastic, but we got to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Ask God to help you take a good look at your life. Where do you see yourself giving flesh more power than it deserves? Where are you letting that pursuit of pleasure control you? Take it to the foot of the cross. Ask Jesus how he wants to free you of this dependency. John Mark Comer talks about two spiritual disciplines that are really crucial in this process of crucifying the flesh: fasting and confession. Everyone's favorite. But it makes sense though, right? we don't like these disciplines very much, and we live in a culture that loves to do what we want and loves to keep our sins secret. It's no wonder we're struggling with this lie of the flesh. Because secret is where the enemy thrives. In order to crucify the flesh, to let Jesus take away our dependency, we need to take action. We need to do something. For some of you today, doing something might be confession. Maybe you're only just realizing the power that your flesh has had over you the past few years. So talk to him about it. Talk to someone you trust about it. It's so easy for the enemy to keep us trapped in secrecy, but it's so beautiful when we join together to pull each other out of our sins. You're not the only one going through this. You're not the only one struggling with the flesh. You think I'd be preaching this message if it applied to three people? Like, maybe, if God asked me to, but that's not very efficient. All of us struggle with these issues of the flesh, and all of us need God and each other to find forgiveness and healing. For others of you, maybe you heard me say fasting and started looking for exit signs. I don't blame you. Food's amazing. It's so good. I love it. But I hate to admit it, fasting's pretty essential in crucifying the flesh and the desires of the flesh in our lives. About a year ago, my dad's ex-girlfriend's husband in Australia felt called by God to pray and fast for my dad's healing. This is just something that happens in my life now. I've learned to roll with it. So many of us across the world were fasting and praying for my dad to be healed for 3 days and three nights. And let me tell you, there is little in my life that has humbled me like that long weekend. Like, I knew food was important to me, but when I didn't have it for 3 days, I saw a bad side of myself. And I think I saw a glimpse of my true self. My life was controlled by food. I am a slave. It's actually something my dad has noticed now that he doesn't eat anymore. All his nutrition is pumped into his stomach, and so his eyes have been opened to the way that our time, our money, and our passion, and again, our money, is poured into the pursuit of good food and good drink. Not just to survive. Not just to survive. My dad says, like, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Imagine if we invested as much in God as we do in food. As much time, as much passion, as much money. Some food for thought there. Huh. I'm quoting my dad. I have to put it upon. But even though during this fast my eyes were opened to the ways I was a slave to food, I was also shown the path to freedom. I made it. 3 days. No food. Didn't die. I survived not giving my flesh what it asked of me, what it craved. Fasting trains our bodies to not get what they want, at least not all the time. Like, you need food to live, and that's allowed. But fasting trains our bodies not to get what they want, at least all the time. It's a pathway to freedom. Fasting is practicing suffering. It's teaching our bodies to suffer. Suffering is unavoidable. Joy is not. In fasting, we learn how to suffer with joy. So give it a try. Why not? If you want to learn more, I'm only doing a really brief moment on fasting. If you want to learn more, I think Brad taught about it 2 summers ago. So go on the YouTube for fasting. But give it a try. Maybe start with a meal. Choose not to eat until noon and the time you would have spent at breakfast, spend with the Lord. Or maybe do like some of the early church did and fast from sunrise to sunset. It's the best time of year to do it. Shorter days. It's perfect. Get going on it. And I know, like, we do live in a time of social media fasts and stuff like that. Those are good. Those are important. But food fasting is what gets us to a place of crucifying our flesh. It's that hunger that is necessary to have our eyes open to the power of the flesh in our lives and the power of Jesus to free us from that dependency. Fasting brings perspective. Billions of people starve every day in ways that I can't imagine. Fasting tells us that the devil has no power over us. Starving the flesh breaks its power over us. In this act of obedience, we can begin that process of crucifying the flesh. So step one, crucify the flesh. Step two, live in the Spirit. And live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. I want to take a moment, actually, to clarify some things here. It could be easy to leave this morning and just go home to your lunch after I talk about fasting and just think, man, I just need to be a holier person. I need to manage my fleshy behavior so I can serve God better. I need to get out a list and just like white knuckle it through and get there, finally be a good Christian. That's not what I'm saying. Not at all. That just takes us back to the Jewish Christians who were trying to bring the Old Testament law back into the church. Remember how we started this passage this morning? For you were called to be free. And in another letter, Paul writes, for you were saved by grace through faith. And it's not from yourselves. It's God's gift, so that no one can boast. Is there effort involved in living for Jesus? Yeah. Absolutely. It takes effort. But it's not just a matter of working hard and being a good Christian and working hard to be a good Christian. God has already set us free. It's only with his help and with his work within us that we're able to live a holy life. It's one of the reasons we have the Holy Spirit. I could go on a whole detour about how incredible it is that we have God within us, guiding us and helping us to live life for him. But I'll just let Jesus do some of that talking. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. And later on in that chapter, he says, I've spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And remind you of everything I've told you. We're not doing this on our own. We have the Holy Spirit to stay with us, to remind us, to teach us, to give us the power to say no to our strongest desires in favor of our deepest. It's through his leadership that we're able to walk away from the ways of the flesh. And how do we live in the Spirit? How do we get access? How do we live in the Spirit? Brad gave us a cool Greek word a couple weeks ago, meno. We abide. We remain. We dwell in. We stay. We make our home in him. We're to be with Jesus. This means making room for him in every aspect of our lives, not just churches. This means choosing his company when times get tough. This means cutting out some of the noise so we can better hear him and his guidance and his wisdom. And yeah, a great way to choose him, a great way to remain in him is through the spiritual practices. Jesus did them. He was fully God and fully man. And he still chose to spend hours in prayer. He fasted. He memorized scripture. He kept the Sabbath. If these were the tools that Jesus used to be at war with the devil, the flesh, and the world, I think I should give them a try. To wrap us up this morning, I want to go back to that opening lie. Satisfying my heart's desire will lead me to freedom. That's not true. And not only is it untrue, that's not what we're meant to live for. God saved us from sin, not so we can spend our lives pursuing pleasure, pursuing ourselves, but so we can pursue him for the sake of his kingdom. So I ask again, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want to What do you want? What life do you want to live? Do you want to live your life spending all your money on Chick-fil-A and adult websites? Because you can. You're allowed to make your own decisions. You can do that. But it's not going to work. It's not going to fill that hole that you have. Do you want to try and have it both ways? To read your Bible and spend 5 hours a day on TikTok and Twitter? Because you can. You're allowed. But it's not going to work. You're only ever going to get so far. Do you want love? Do you want joy? Peace? Patience? Kindness? Goodness? Faithfulness? Gentleness and self-control? You can. You're allowed. Just know it's going to work. It's going to work. The Spirit will be with you. And you'll experience freedom. For Christ has set you free. Let's thank Him for that. Holy Spirit, You give us good gifts. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, You give us freedom. Hallelujah. Father God, You made us. You made us for good things. Hallelujah. May You walk with us as we take a long look at our lives. May You show us where our strongest desires are shadowing our deepest. And may You give us the strength to come to You for forgiveness, for healing, and for new life. You are good, God.